chosen occupation, which is physical therapy, it hurts. I mean, it hurts really bad. And he's saying these big words, well, it's this and that, and I'm going back, whatever, just, you know, keep doing whatever you're doing. But he doesn't use that professional voice. My wife used to tell me that when I was talking to certain people, mostly work-related, that I had a professional voice. But today we're really not talking about the human interaction. It's about God. You know, Rod never asked me, hey, would you like to be my friend? You know, in grade school, you hear that once, well, hey, would you like to be my friend? Could we be friends? When you get old, it just doesn't happen that way. But we're still friends. And sometimes I'm not really sure why. I thought Rod was smarter than that, but evidently, it just happened. Probably to both of our detriments, and definitely to your detriment, but it still just happened without much thought. But God has asked us to be his friend. And the question that I have this morning is, do we hold God at such a high level of esteem that we will not allow him to draw close to us? Have we so overcomplicated Christianity that we cannot allow God to be God? Is it even possible that a God that is so big and so mighty and so wonderful would actually want to have us as a friend? And then do we actually talk to him as a friend? Do a prayer. Your Father, this morning, as we open your word, as we try in our feeble way to figure out who you are and why you have loved us, give us again faith and courage to understand that you have called us your friend. Give us the ability, Father, to turn loose of the stigma that we have put on, to accept you. Colossians 1:16. Cody, you can go ahead and start those slides. It says, of all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. That's you and me. We were created not only by God, but for God. And again, there is no question about God, the God that we serve. Some of these pictures, and I'll maybe be straight on this, these may be like AI, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. They're just beautiful. And we see the beauty around us, and we as Christians, accept that and go, God is so magnificent. Look what he is creating for us. Psalms 47, verse 2 says, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Deuteronomy 7:21 says, do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God, who is among you, is great. God's among us. He wants to draw close to us. And again, I think that sometimes we hold him at bay because we're afraid that he might be more than what we're capable of talking to. Psalms 29:4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. desires are friendship. John 15:15 says, no longer call you servants. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. In everything that I owe you, my Father, I have made known to you. So we saw some of the majestic things, the heavens, the earth. But God has seen. Look at those eyes. Eating in the dessert. Christ's object lesson says prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Friends. Sometimes it's not the mighty and glorious we see. We look up into the heavens, and these are actually photographs from NASA. It's beyond what we can understand. I mean, look at that. And God put every single one of them on display for us. But we hold it at such an arm's length. We forbid this. It's a butterfly on our finger. Look at the awe and wonder in her face. This is the kind of God that calls us to be his friend. And when we see things like this, when we are able to have a butterfly land on your finger, for the first time for her, she saw that butterfly, and that was just the natural response that came to her. Wow! That's what God wants from us. Do you ever look at God and wonder why he did love such a wretch like me? A God that creates things like this. Isn't that really the reason that we kind of hold God back? That we're reluctant to allow God to be both an almighty God and our friend? Psalms 139:13-14 says, you were created, you created my inmost being. You, speaking of God, knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who created us? God did. God created each one of us fearfully and wonderfully. We say to ourselves, but I just don't get it. That's fine. But don't dismiss something just because you don't understand it. If we understood it, we'd be God and we would have no need. So how would we become a friend of God? You know that the more I'm around God, the more we just talk as friends, the closer we become and the more that we open up to each other. It becomes easier. And the same is true with God. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You see, we create these curtains, these protectors for ourselves against God. But when we open our heart to God, he removes those barriers for us. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Yes, God is way above us in every way. We sing of an awesome God, a majestic name. We sing how great thou art. We sing of the mighty power. And all that is true. And it's the way that it's supposed to be. We never want to try to bring God God only knew all the sins that I would create. But he didn't. If he hates sin, then why did he create me? And the answer? Because God's love never ends. His love for you was trumpeted even in his immeasurable hatred of sin. He knew all things, all of the things that we would do. He knew every sinful act that we would ever commit, or that we would ever say, or that we would ever think. But his eternal love for each and every one of us was so much greater that he was compelled to create each and every one of us, knowing that we were only a speck in his mighty universe. Universes, and all of what he created. Also knowing and understanding that he asked us to stand up and boldly go before the throne of grace. Why? So that we can obtain mercy and find grace that we need. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not fear." It's okay, because you see, God made a way. Are all of your friends perfect? In fact, are any of your friends perfect? Except for Bob, of course. They're not. But they're still your friends, right? Because we overlook their shortcomings. Well, God unfortunately cannot overlook our sins. So what did he do? He made a way. You know, even in the articles of the sanctuary, God is drawing us to him. He is making a way for us to be his friend. So you walk into the outer court, and what do you see? You see the altar. And we lay our sins on the altar. We wash away the stain that remains in the labor. We eat of his bread daily. We talk with him daily. The Holy Spirit virtually translates our moanings and groanings. I love the way that I want that he translates our moanings and groanings, because we don't even know what to say or how to say it. But the Holy Spirit is there. And he translates it into God language. I don't know what that is. And then, what's next? We stand in front of the mercy seat. Not as a stranger, but as a friend. And how can we stand in front of that mercy seat? Because Christ died. And when he did, something very strange and unusual happened. The curtain separated the mercy seat. It was torn. You think, okay, so there are two big guards that grabbed hold of this curtain and they tore it. But that's not the way it happened. It tore from the top to the bottom. Angels, under the direction of God, said, "It's time that it goes." It was torn open so that now we can step into the mercy seat in front of God. So that we could be in his presence. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne." sometimes it seems like a balancing act. Awesome God, great. But if we hold God at such a distance, not believing that He is actually big enough to do the impossible, if we cannot allow Him to draw close to us, then what do we have left? We have complicated Christianity. We say one thing, and do we really believe it? Isn't it just possible that God is so big and so mighty that not only is He able, but that He wants to be with me? Why do we struggle to speak to Him like we do to a friend? We need to look at the cross. God sent His Son to show us just how much He loves us. And on paper, it looks really simple. It sounds so easy. And that's because it is. Jesus paid it all at the cross. There is no greater love than this, that one would give his life for a friend. Jesus gave his life for a friend. And that's for true of us. And yet you're right. It's impossible. But guess what? We serve a God of the impossible. I've asked the Greeks to sing us a song. It's called Overwhelmed. won't want